you know that? The culture there is, the ethics behind that are, sit back and be thoughtful with some of our highlighted interviews on Moncrief.
Telling your kids about what's happening in the news is always a problem, especially when that news is harrowing. Not even too far away from here, other children are suffering or being exposed to all sorts of dangers. Jane Mitchell is the author of a young adult novel that addresses one of these issues, that of refugees. Her book is called A Dangerous Crossing. Jane, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
So tell us, it's the story of whom?
It's a story of a little Kurdish boy from Syria called Khalib Shanu, and it's his story when his family decides that it's too dangerous to remain in Kobani and they need to get out of Syria and to somewhere, a place of safety for him and his family and his siblings.
And in terms of how much of their journey they track, presumably it starts in Syria. Where does it end?
I end the story when they cross the waters to the shores of Greece.
Right,
so
okay.
I wasn't able to continue right the way through to conclusion with Khalib's story, but I got as far as them landing on the shores of Greece.
Right, you can almost write another novel or maybe even series of novels on what happens to them afterwards. Why did you decide to start it in Syria and just end it arriving in Greece?
I had to try and find a story arc that would work. I couldn't go on continuing the story. There had to be some point where it had to end. I did want to cover what happens to families and the harrowing journeys that they face, the terrible ordeals that they face trying to cross borders, trying to get out of a war-strewn country, trying to get across the sea into Greece. And we've all seen the media coverage about children's bodies being fished from the deep and about ships going down and boats going down that are far from seaworthy and the problems that people face trying to cross the borders. And those were the real issues that I wanted to talk about and I wanted to tell a story about.
How do you go about researching something like that?
With great difficulty. I tried very hard to find a Syrian family in Ireland. It was really, really difficult and I couldn't actually find a Syrian family who had experienced the war, but I did manage through a colleague to contact a Syrian family who came to Ireland before the war. They gave me incredible insights into what life was like in Syria before the war actually happened. They still have family members over there and are obviously very concerned about them, but they were able to tell me a little bit about the shops, the streets, the lifestyle, the education, and that was all really interesting. I also drew on my own travels to give a little bit about what the scenery is like in Syria and what the country would look like. So I've spent time in Turkey just trekking, hiking around the place. So I drew on my experiences there. I also spent time in Palestine and I've been to Egypt and I've been to Jordan. So all those countries are slightly different and they all have their own unique features. It gave me an idea of what the countryside might look like in Syria.
Yeah, and I suppose part of the stark contrast between what life was like in Syria before the war and what was like after the war. Syria is one of the most more prosperous countries in the Middle East. It was very middle class, had been established for decades.
Absolutely.
And was quite cosmopolitan. Or
very
at least parts
developed
of it
country.
Were.
Yeah. Yes, very developed, very cosmopolitan and one of the more progressive countries in the Middle East. So it's really, really sad now to see that the state the country is in at this stage.
Yeah. How this is a young adult novel, so how far can you go? Do you have to decide? Because, I mean, I was only reading an article the other day. Now, this is kids who have made this journey by themselves, but a huge, like more than half of them have been sexually abused at some point between getting from home and probably ending up where the jungle used to be.
Yes.
And one of those camps. So now, obviously, your character travels with his family, so he's relatively safe.
Yeah, children are hugely vulnerable to exploitation, whether they're with their families or whether they're with on their own. And at one point in the story, Khalib gets separated from his family and there's a little glimpse of what kind of exploitation he could face. I think it's very tempting for adults to try and shield children in Ireland and in settled, peaceful countries from the realities of war. But I think children have a remarkable empathy to understand and an ability to understand what's going on for other children. And I think if you present a subject to them in a language and using a narrative that's appropriate to their age group, I think it's very possible to bring very, very hard situations to a real, to children for them to read through the safe medium of a fictional story.
Yeah. How much detail do you go into are they a Muslim family?
They are a Muslim family. They're Kurdish
yeah.
Muslim family.
Right, okay. And so is there a good level of detail on that? I mean, are the girls going to go to university or how strict Muslim family are they?
Yeah, Khalib's family are quite progressive. His father is a pharmacist, so they have a very normal middle class life in Syria. His sister Bushra, she wants to be an engineer. She wants to go to college. And Khalib himself wants to follow his father's footsteps and become a pharmacist. So from that point of view, I wanted to try and have them to be quite a contemporary, progressive, far-sighted Muslim family. But I think the detail I go into is limited by obviously the length of a story, the suitability of the audience. And you also want to make sure that you cover the details without going into too much explicit detail into the hard facts of war and death and what goes on for children. I think children's imaginations have the ability to carry them beyond the words on the page. So you can certainly give an outline of what happens, but children themselves will fill in the gaps themselves and will create the details.
Yeah. Of course, the thing is, it's a novel. And did you feel a responsibility to almost remind the reader, I know this is a novel and you could read this as just an adventure, but real people, this is happening to real people, and it's, in many cases, a hell of a lot worse than this.
Yeah, that's very much the case. It is based on real families, real experiences, what really happens. Having said that, children are very, very quick to pick up on somebody trying to be moralistic or someone to be a little bit didactic in a story. So I didn't want to have a story that children would see that they're being taught a lesson, because that's not what it's about. Mm. And the story itself, I'm hoping, is a strong, engaging, fresh story that tells something that challenges people's thinking, and particularly the young audience that are going to be reading it. So it challenges their thoughts, makes them think a little bit more about it, and maybe makes them go off and find out a little bit more. I think words have a huge role in terms of engendering understanding, creating empathy, and they have that power. And I think children hopefully will read it as a story in its own right.
Mm. Now, there definitely are people listening to us right now saying, oh, that's great, you're giving them empathy, but actually what you're doing is kind of indoctrinating them, because you're painting this picture of poor migrants, but at the same time, they've only arrived in Greece. So you haven't seen in what follows on societies that are already, such as Greece, which is already financially in crisis, that can't afford to look after these people. And what do they do? Or should we just take them all in?
I think that's a huge discussion, and there's a huge amount of discussion and coverage out there of what should happen and what Europe's response should be. And different countries have responded in different ways. Some have closed their borders, some have opened their borders. I think there are benefits to letting people in. People are in difficulty. I think we need to show humanity. I think a book such as mine seeks to show different perspectives and hopefully will enable children to look at it from both sides and make their own minds up. And I think that's what I'm trying to do, is informing rather than lecturing or giving a particular point of view. I think it's showing the reality of what children are going through. And I think children in Ireland and in the UK and readership are entitled to know what's happening in our world. And children aren't necessarily aware of the complexities of what's going on, the politics of what's going on. But they are seeing media coverage of children like themselves dying. Mm. And they are seeing children fleeing from war. And I think they might be are asking questions themselves of what's leading to this, why are children leaving their country? And that's all very true. That's all happening. How they react is very much up to themselves. They're young people, they're forming their own opinions and they're developing their own views. And I think a book like this that informs people and enables children to look at different perspectives helps them to understand what's a very complex situation.
You did volunteer at the jungle yourself.
I did.
Had you finished your first draft and then you went to the...
I did. And yeah. I deliberately did that. I didn't... People in the jungle were very vulnerable. They're at a low point in their lives, and it wasn't an equal relationship. So I was going out to try and help and to try and support them in some way. And I didn't feel it would be right to draw on their personal experiences and their own stories to write my book. So I finished the first draft first, and then I went out and I volunteered in the jungle, and then I used what I saw to enrich the narrative and to make it more authentic and to talk a little bit about what a refugee camp is like. It's an illegal camp, but it still gives you an impression of what a camp is like. And I used that to enrich the story.
Yeah, and what was it like?
It was horrendous. It was terrible. People are living in terrible situations. There's poor sanitation, poor hygiene. Their tents are inadequate. They're living in sand dunes. The weather in Calais isn't a great deal better than here in Ireland.
Yeah.
So when you're out there, you're talking about a lot of rain, a cold weather, people going around in puddles all the time. And generally, these are people who are arriving from warm countries. So they have inadequate footwear. They're in sandals. They're in light shirts. And it's a horrendous situation. The whole environment there is very volatile. It's very difficult. The gendarmes around the place, they're very anxious. They're very nervous because they feel they could be overwhelmed. And the whole situation, I was there when there was a tear gas attack by the gendarmes. And that was frightening. And it's something I'd never experienced before. But it's the French police. It's their way of reacting quickly when they feel that they're threatened by something. So it's a really sad situation. Mm. Having said that, I was really, really impressed by the resourcefulness of the people living there, by their kindness, and they all managed to retain a degree of humour about what they're going through, and I think that's really, really good. So the fact that I was going out there with very little language that I could speak to them, and they had very little English, but you can still convey so much with a smile, a shake of a hand, touch on the shoulder, and I think people were very open to that and the fact that somebody was there to show them some humanity.
Yeah. Were there many unaccompanied kids there?
Yeah, there were a lot of unaccompanied children. I met a lot of children, mainly boys. There was about 6,000 people in total, and there were about 600 of those were families and minors, children. But in the in the main part of the camp where there were 6,000 people, I met, a good 50% of the groups that I met were young people under 20, going from about 14 up, and they were all in the adult part of the camp, and then the women and much younger children are in the family part of the camp. And it's really sad to see these young boys coming from not only from Syria but from Eritrea, from Somalia, from the Sudan, from Iraq, from Afghanistan, all these countries that have had problems that people feel they've no choice but to flee. And there were young men, young boys there who had left their families behind and were finding it really, really hard. They were finding it really difficult to survive.
A lot of those would have travelled huge distances already.
Yeah, unaccompanied, with nobody with them. And what they've learned, I mean, you can see they've hardened. They've been bitten by their experiences. They've hardened, a lot of them, but they still retain a great innocence. And really, they're talking about their families and they're drawing pictures. We ran a couple of art workshops, and they were drawing pictures of home and of families. And that's what they want. They want their family again. They want what any of us would want, like a safe home, somewhere to live, to get work, and to be with their families.
Mary, Jane, thanks very much for coming in to talk to us today.
Thank
That's
you
Jane
very
Mitchell
much.
There. The name of that book is A Dangerous Crossing. Jane, thank you very much.
More interviews to make you go on Moncrief weekdays from 2 p.m.